Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
Forever before the creation, order was Satan, the Son was with the Spirit and Father in glorification. Before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity within a perfect triangle of love, still with no one else. No need for others, because God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself. Then we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me.
An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
No doctors around, no spot to be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces pounds. The scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race whose sin would bring him hell.
And as soon as this could be, God became a man penetrating into human history. But he did it completely opposite than people thought he would, so unbelievers mocking it.
Into human history, but you did it completely opposite than I thought you would.
rocking it. The promised Messiah didn't come in the honor of Shia, but humbly rotten from modest attire. Some people miss it, to be specific, the legalistic Dr. King would be the richest. And we know we like commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said, he runs with a team of stupid fishermen, and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians. Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick, and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection, see? Wait, are you kidding me? Watch Jesus go low and watch Peter's souls. What great humility! See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Checked his earthly ministry, he didn't make a bed. He had no place to lay his head, but he became bound to his own law. But we found no flaw, was from a rugged town so raw. Slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depth, the sum of our depths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest depth that's dreaded. The sun is our rest, come under him, get his credit. No question that he's COD, but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. In surf the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're GOD, but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. In surf the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked this wicked earth. He was falsely condemned by Jews and filthy pagans. Now the cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely best removed him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful, gracious and patient with him. Yet he was hated and forsaken by men like Jews. They hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled. Suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut like a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The Father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our minds are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one's pain was worse, cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence, put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge to arms so lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath, so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
That was Timothy Brindle singing the song The Humility of Christ here on Tribute Total Radio. And so we got for you, gonna play a song from Go Fish, and this one is called The Bible Book Bop here on Tribute Total Radio.
First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. pop, so do the bubble bump, bop, bop, bop.
Come on!
Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
We
made it through the old palace, move on to the new, and see what we can find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Corinthians.
1 and 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians.
1 and 2.
1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Hebrew, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and John.
1, 2, 3. And don't forget to
do the Bible book.
Again, that was the Vital Book here on Trippy Toll Review. A little bit later, I'm going to play something from John MacArthur, which is from an interview he was on when he was on Larry King Live. And what I'm going to play next for you is, let's see, this is from Avia Cohen. And this one is called Firestarter here on Truth Be Told.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed, you're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth, just be a fire starter. They call me fire starter, I bring the holy heat. Don't need no pyrotechnics, just need this Jesus beat. They know my holy father, his name is Yahweh. Refining me through the fire, I'm just his work of clay. I'm on a mighty mission, I'm here to testify. I was saved by the best, now on a holy high. My savior's Yeshua, the world's Messiah. Ignite the youth with the truth, yeah, now they're on fire. What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed, you're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth, just be a fire starter. This ain't no candy land, a foreign world it is. We need a savior to save us from the sins we did. It only takes a seeker to find out what's in store. So grab your faith and your Bible, knock on God's door. He gave you something special, a gift to share today. So glorify your maker in your own special way. Bench warmers not needed, we got no time for games. Since you got something to give, just step up to the plate. What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed, you're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth, just be a fire starter. They call me extreme, I don't play by their rules. Cause I am finding new ways to bring God back to schools. The kids, they all own it, they know I ain't shade. I ain't no clown in a suit, just here to get paid. They got their armor on, made by a
Ephesians 6, sharing God with their crew. Their sleeves don't hold no tricks. The time is running out. The blind are everywhere. So shine His light in their face and show that you really care. What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
What about you? Are you on fire? Do you want to share the truth?
Come on. From the spark to the flame, to the blaze that burns the precious time of glory. Go ahead, speak the truth. Go ahead, be the proof of walking testimony. That God is real, that Christ is healing. He is coming back. Gotta be radical, gotta be fanatical. Cause here go all the facts. Without Christ, I am being resurrected. We'd all be damned to hell. Evil and sinners by nature, but God, He pays the bill.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
Be the fire to inspire change.
Singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And we only did a part of that because I want to play next John MacArthur. This is from an interview he did before when there was still Larry King Live. And this is What Happens After We Die. And this is part one. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
What happens after we die? Tonight we explore the ultimate mystery with spiritual leaders from many faiths. Joining us, John MacArthur, evangelical Christian pastor of Grace Community Church in Southern California, best-selling author and host of the global media ministry Grace to You. Father Michael Manning, Roman Catholic priest, host of the international program The Word in the World. Representing Judaism, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, the dean and founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Muslim scholar Dr. Maher Hathout, a retired physician and senior advisor to the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Marianne Williamson, best-selling author and lecturer on spirituality. And Ellen Johnson, president of American Atheists. The Next World, next on Larry King Live. John MacArthur, what happens when you die?
Well, when you die, you go to one of two places, according to Scripture. you go out of the presence of God forever, or you go into the presence of God forever.
Depending
upon your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is, according to the Bible, the only way to enter heaven.
So therefore, a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist will not go to heaven.
Yeah, Christian theology and the scripture says that only through faith in Jesus Christ.
And then when we say what happens? Do you go somewhere as a body?
No, your body stays. We go to the funeral, we see the body, it goes into the grave, it decays. Your spirit immediately goes either in the presence of God or out, waiting the final resurrection. There will be a resurrection of all bodies in the end, a resurrection unto life or a resurrection unto damnation.
It is, John MacArthur, is it not? A guess on your, an educated guess based on your scriptures, your reading, your faith. But you don't know. You don't know, do you? How can you know?
Because the Bible says so, and you believe
the Bible.
Well, I believe the Bible, but I believe the Bible can be defended. I believe through the centuries the Bible has stood the test of intense scrutiny, and it is the real and true revelation of God, and it speaks truly about life and death, and someone has been there and come back, and that's Jesus Christ.
How come only one?
How come only one what?
Person ever come back.
Well, that's because the design of leaving this world is to go into the eternal world. The only person who came from the eternal world into this world is Jesus Christ. There have been a few others, by the way. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophets raised a few from the dead. In the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles raised a few from the dead. And at the death of Christ on the cross, the graves were open and some were raised. And that's indicative of the fact that there will be an actual physical resurrection to join with the spirits that are with God at death.
However, to Mr. MacArthur, the price for eternal life and life after death is obedience to church doctrine. So you must live a certain life in preparation for that life after death. That I totally reject. I am not going
so
to...
Well, what do you think?
I reject
that
completely.
There is a way to get...
Hold it, Alan. What is...
Well,
You said you have to believe in Christ.
That's the only way to heaven. And at this point, I respectfully disagree with the rabbi. Nobody can live a righteous life. The Bible says that no one can obey the law of God.
No one's going to heaven.
So no one can go to heaven on their own merits or on their own works.
I don't care
how many good works they do. The New Testament is crystal clear on the fact
that a bad guy who believes in Christ, he's going to heaven.
Yeah.
A good guy who doesn't is going to
heaven. But when he truly believes...
That doesn't sound just.
But when he truly believes... Larry, we don't want justice.
Justice?
No, it sends everybody to hell. We need grace. We need forgiveness.
We need grace. We need mercy.
Only those who ask. When you need grace, first of all, when you take an exam, not everybody has to get 100. It's preposterous to think that when you say righteous conduct, you mean perfect specimens. Human beings are not perfect specimens. In God's world, they will be accepted to eternity or eternal heaven if they pass the exam. What's a passing grade in heaven? I don't know. Maybe it's 67 and not 65. But the fact of the matter is, if you lived a decent life, that is credible. You don't have to be perfect.
Let me get a break. I'm right back. I hope it's 51. We'll be right back. Billy Graham told me, sure, he would, if he was going down in an airplane, he'd be scared. Scared of pain, scared, but not of dying. Scared of the method of dying, maybe.
Well, absolutely.
You're
right.
Frightened, aren't you, of dying?
Well, I think the pain is realistic. I don't want to go through some kind of tortuous extreme, but going down in an airplane would be a novel way for me to go immediately to heaven. And my Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, far better to depart and be with Christ. This is my hope. I have no fear of dying itself. I have no fear of death. It was 5 years ago that I was near death in the critical care unit with blood clots all over both lungs. And the truth of the matter is, 8 days later, when I came out, I had a disappointment because I felt like I was ready to see my Lord and I was ready to enter into all that God has prepared for them that love Him. And I, not that I don't love my wife, my kids, and enjoy the riches. I was made for social life. I was made for relationships, and that's why I hang on here. And I was made to be used by God, and I want to serve Him as long as He wants me here. But I'm ready to go to heaven whenever He sends the word.
I'm afraid that this is based on a very serious assumption that I'm so good, I lived the perfect life, when I die I'll go to heaven. I, 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 still have to see someone who can make this statement without blinking.
Can I respond to you? That is a very good statement to make. And you know what? You'll never meet that person, because that person who can earn heaven by himself does not exist. Only one person ever lived a perfect life. That's Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is Christianity. He imputes his life to the believing Christian.
All of you believe this.
That what?
That
I didn't
believe what, Larry?
That you're going somewhere. All of you believe it except Ellen.
Yes, I believe that we are.
Do all of you believe God has a plan for when you're going? God knows when
God
you're going.
I believe God has a plan.
So God knew about 9/11.
Sure.
God.
He did.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, when we come back, we'll ask why did he let it go.
Okay.
We'll also include your phone calls. Don't go away.
He's not waiting for that to be on.
Now that play part two. This is from an interview on Larry King Live. It was November 19th, 2008. And here we play in part two of the one that is talking about which Jesus what happens after we die, part two. Thanks for saying Truth Be Told.
Don't you question it, John MacArthur, when 9/11 occurs? Don't you question your faith?
No, I don't question my faith. No, I mean,
And the guys who took the plane into the building didn't question theirs either.
And they I don't like that association too well.
Wait a minute. They didn't give their ultimate gift?
No, because
they did not give their life?
I understand that God allows death. That does not mean that I take the side of a perpetrator of murder and slaughter.
I'm not saying take the side. I'm saying is, did they have a belief?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure. A severely misguided one.
In our opinion, it was misguided, of course.
Right.
But
absolutely.
Why is the death tragedy if death is good?
Well,
why is tragic used in the word death?
I'll answer that very simply. If nobody died in those towers that wasn't going to die anyway. Death is a reality. And the message is, you don't know when you're going to die, and you better be ready. Jesus told this story. He said there were some people worshiping in the temple. The Pilate's soldiers came in, sliced them up. Their blood mingled with the sacrifices. It was Passover. They said to Jesus, were they worse than everybody else? Jesus said, you better repent, or you'll also die and perish. And they said a tower fell and killed 18 people in Siloam. Were they worse than everybody else because they were crushed? And Jesus said, you better repent or you'll likewise perish. The Bible says you die and after this the judgment and then heaven and hell. And you're not going into eternity as energy, you're going as a person.
Let's include some calls. Clovis, California. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
If Jesus is the only way to get into heaven, was heaven empty and devoid of souls before Jesus came to earth?
John?
Oh, that's a very good question, and the answer is absolutely not. We know way back in the book of Genesis, Enoch didn't die. He walked right into the presence of God, and the prophet Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind, and David said that when he died, he would see God face to face, and Job said when he died, he'd see God face to face, and the prophet Daniel spoke about a resurrection unto life. There was clearly in the Old Testament an indication that they were going to go to heaven, but they went to heaven because God provides for those Old Testament saints the same way he does for people on this side of the life of Jesus, resurrection life for those who believe in him. Jesus paid the penalty for their sins, and his righteousness was applied to them, past and future. But Jesus Christ, nonetheless, was the one who bore their punishment, even though he hadn't yet come.
We're back with our panel. Lake City, Colorado. Hello.
Hey there, Larry.
Hi.
Many of your guests have said that after we die, we either go to heaven or hell, and that's on the basis of whether we have faith in Jesus Christ or if we've done enough good deeds. And my question is what about the baby, the infant, who has not been able to come to an understanding of Jesus or not lived enough to do the good deeds to merit heaven?
Well, John, someone who doesn't even know about Jesus, an aborigine.
Yeah, I've written a book which has been widely received, and I'm very encouraged by it, by nursing associations and hospitals. It's called Safe in the Arms of God, And it takes an Old Testament, New Testament look at what happens to babies that die. And as I told you when we met the first time after 9/11, and you said, what happened to that baby at the bottom of that tower? And I said, instant heaven. And I said that in just that fast order because I had just prepared that book, and I think the weight of Scripture is very clear that infants that die or people who are mentally unable to make decisions and to operate in faith toward God, God gathers to Himself. And I think Scripture is clear on that.
Do all of you agree on that, Father Matthew?
I think it's really important. I agree, certainly. But I think there's an important thing as a Christian for me to understand in my understanding of Jesus, that although I believe Jesus is the Son of God and He is the source of salvation of all, I believe that He can be able to be expressed in ways far beyond what I can understand. And so for me to condemn a person who loves the Father, a Jew or a Muslim that loves the Father, and say, well, Jesus is not
happy. How do you view Jesus, Rabbi?
I would say that Jesus was a great teacher. I do not believe He was divine. I do not believe He was the Son of God. And I might add, if Moses would claim to be that he's the Son of God, I would reject that as well.
What does Dr. Hathout believe?
I think our stand is almost identical to the rabbi. However, we believe that Jesus Christ is very special in a way because He is born to the Virgin Mary. So,
and you believe she was
yeah,
the Virgin?
Oh, yes.
The Muslims believe?
Muslims believe there is a whole chapter in the Quran called Mary to highlight that. So we believe that He is described as the Word of God and a spirit from Him to the Virgin Mary.
Marianne,
but
what do
we don't believe that He is the Son of God.
Marianne, what do you believe?
I believe that we are all the sons of God. And I believe that Jesus was and is a fully actualized, He was a fully actualized human being who now has the function of helping others who choose and who feel that He is their way to help them rise as well. But I was so glad to hear the Father say that He acknowledges as a Christian that there are those who experience that vortex, as it were, without the name Jesus on it. And I find it very unfortunate and slightly offensive, this notion that if someone does not proclaim the name Jesus, you're talking about Jews, you're talking about atheists, you're talking about agnostics, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, who somehow, even if they aren't babies, if they do not proclaim the name Jesus, to me that is an incorrect
and John, you believe that
of Jesus Himself.
And I appreciate what she's saying. The bottom line is that this is an authority issue. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus
Christ.
Why do
you believe that's the only word?
Because I believe the Bible is true.
So he believes the Quran was true.
Well, I understand that, but I believe the Bible is true. I believe the Bible stands up scientifically, historically, prophetically. I believe every test to the Scripture yields
truth. There's no hypocrisy.
But you know, Larry,
there are
no
hypocrites described in the Bible, but the Bible
well,
is
well, I'm hold it. We've got to take a break. Ellen, what do you believe about Jesus Christ?
Well, I'm here to give the reality point of view, I guess, because the reality is that there is not one shred of secular evidence that there was ever a Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Christianity is a modern religion, and Jesus Christ is a compilation from a lot of other gods, Horus, Mithra, who had the same origins, the same death as the mythological Jesus Christ.
So you don't believe there was a Jesus Christ?
There was not. It's not what I believe, that there is no secular evidence that J.C., Jesus Christ, ever existed.
Okay, that was part two, and what the lady said, that was, that's actually wrong. There is a historian called Josephus who actually talks about Jesus Christ as an actual person, and he didn't necessarily believe like in the miracles, but as an actual person, they show that in the book. If you look up things about him, you can find it probably on Amazon.com. And it's like history of the Jews. And so you will see he actually was a person. And now it's different. Of course, if people believe in miracles, of course, we as Christians do. But of course, they're gonna. Other people are gonna go against it if they don't believe it. So let's see. I wonder if that was. Yeah, that was only part two. So I know it's part two of two. Seems like there should have been one, but I guess not. And thank you for seeing Tribute Call Radio. And then the next is going to play a song, and this one is called Shylin, and it's called Testify, here on Tribute Call Radio.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, and many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Yeah. We'll start right now. His name is Mike Brown. Okay. Born in Detroit, but raised in Chi-Town. Yeah. See, Mike was bright, but Mike liked to fight. From night to night, all types, Mike would strike down. No PG at 13, Mike was R-rated. By 14, behind bars, incarcerated. Released at 15, straight path, no brainer. Okay. Parole officer hooked him up with a trainer. Yeah. Trainer was a Christian. Father figure in, told him discipline. Turned him into a junior Olympian. No doubt with the hand skills, Mike was nice. But God rocked him, and Mike gave his life to Christ. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Son, stand up and testify." The very next word that you heard coming through the speaker: "I used to be a thug, but now I'm a believer." If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify. Story number two, by a girl named Sue. Raised in the burbs, not far from St. Louis. Sue's intelligence was prodigious. She wasn't religious. In fact, she thought Christians were all superstitious. She thought the arguments were inconsistent. Didn't find them convincing. Full-paid scholarship to Princeton. Freshman year, she had a roommate named Kristen. In God's providence, Kristen was a Christian. She gave Sue a copy of Mere Christianity. To read in it, Sue got convicted of a vanity. When she discovered the love of Christian sisters and brothers for each other, when the Lord grabbed a hold of her, the congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sis, stand up and testify." Sue said, "Jesus made it even new. Wanna know my testimony? Read Ephesians 2. If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify. Yeah. Story number three, we'll call her Cece. Okay. Raised in Maryland, not far from D.C. Uh-huh. She got a lot to cherish. Thank God she's not embarrassed about her parents because they had a rock-solid marriage. Right. Father straight loved her, gave like no other. Yeah. Raised with a brother by a stay-at-home mother. Her life always had the true God in the mix because her parents understood Deuteronomy 6. She was raised in the fear of the Lord. Amazing grace appeared, and she was saved at the mere age of 4. A true clear conviction, the oldest replaced. She's a fruit-bearing Christian who's growing in grace. The congregation is waiting for the next reply. Preacher said, "Sit, stand up and testify." CC said, "I ain't got no horror story. God saved me in my youth. I give him all the glory." If you repented of your sins, testify. If you trusted in Jesus, testify. If you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, testify. Say what? Testify. If you're saved by grace, then testify. If you're seeking God's faith, then testify. If you know that you were put here to glorify God, then testify. Say what? Testify.
Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I remind you, we have website at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and we're on Twitter as Truth, letter B, then Told Radio. Truth, letter B, Told Radio. And also on Facebook, and me, Melissa Cantrilla, you can check me out at smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com is my personal website. And on Twitter, I am Bond, B-O-N-D, number 4-J-C, Bond 4-J-C. And also I got YouTube channel, Bond Servant 4-J-C, Bond S-E-R-V-A-N-T, the number 4 and J-C, oh, actually it's Jesus, Bond Servant 4-Jesus. And you could check that out on YouTube. And if you ever want to email something, send us an email to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. And what we got up next for you, this will be a song that I like, and it's by Shyman, and it is called Penelope Judd, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now, Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said, "Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's going to throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog. He'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go." It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
"Off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're going to see the king. We're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn. Your turn.
Off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're going to see the king. We're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away."
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, "Okay, I'll be right back." Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
"Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way."
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, "Why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king." It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
"Off I go with no delay. And ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way. And all the old things going to pass away."
Your turn.
Off I go with no delay. And ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way. And all the old things going to pass away.
Now when they had been walking for a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
"Keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide."
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
"Farewell, see you inside."
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
"Can I help you, ma'am?"
"Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation."
He said,
"I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor."
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled
pulled out a mirror, and for the very first time she saw that she was dirty. The polish was spotless, she knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry little friend, but
a voice inside the party said, you can let her in. The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it, she asked. He said,
actually it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn, your turn.
Peace. It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all?
go, fish guys. I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now, I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? All right, here we go.
Thanks for listening to Tribute Toll Radio. And I want to remind you that all of our shows are archived on iTunes. I mean, after they play live, they get automatically sent to iTunes, available for you to download. And you can listen to them, share them. Please tell others about us. We can share them with somebody else. And I'm your host, Melissa Cantola. And what we're going to do for you now is gonna play this little clip from The Way of the Master, and this is called Witch Jesus. Thanks for listening. Truth be told.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Most Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible? Probably because he isn't.
This is the all-sufficiency of Christ in the gospel of grace, to restore ruined sinners to himself for their joy in his glory. Check it out now. I'm asked by my peers, hey, where have you been the last 5 years? I stay buried in sin. I thought I was righteous, but that's a mirage. So God snatched off my mask and facade, exposing the true me. When you, the Holy One, showed me what you see, I was loathing this loose scene, but it was only so you could show me your beauty. The beauty of your deep compassion for needy cats who are steeped in mad sin. But because of Jesus bleeding, gasping, now before God my sin's completely absent. Cause on the cross it was like my hell. So now my righteousness is Christ himself. Because of the blood spill, your mountain of grace done smothered my dunghill.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So you convinced that you're ruined, and the proof is the bad fruit of the sin that you're proving. Sick of the emptiness you're pursuing. So what can fix the brokenness of a human? Our help is not in 12 steps, or in books on the shelf that sells best. Like health and wealth mess that compels self-flesh. Cause with self-help, guess what? You help less. Cause in self is indwelt death. So it's not an attempt to keep self-well kept. Only Jesus Christ himself can save us from ourselves and hell's depths. So what's the remedy for your sinning? Is it in performance-driven moralism?
No, nope.
It's only falling on the Lord who's risen, whose infinite grace is of course sufficient to be reborn, forgiven, and adorned with wisdom, and freed from your morbid porn or prison, and equipped for his mission. Only beholding his glory can transform a Christian.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So name your need, he knows your strength is weak. The unchanging grace of the Savior's deep. In Christ Jesus every saint's complete. So come by faith to our faithful priest.
What is faith?
It's just an empty hand that receives the grace of the precious Lamb, namely God the Son, crushed as your payment. His perfect life is our justification. So the gospel's not just for unbelievers. Every day we should trust and run to Jesus. Confess and plead, we're wretched thieves, but his once for all death perfected me. So when you come to the Son, behold this, the riches of God in abundant fullness. When you come to his blood, your soul gets peace with God, abundant love and wholeness. I'm now making the argument, the most foregone sinner who's dark and grim can be restored by Christ who pardoned him. Cause Christ's abounding grace is larger than your heart of sin that's hard within, or all who his irresistible grace is targeting. Cause the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation from start to end.
Listen! So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. Follow me now, listen me now, follow me now, see. After he sent me as the Almighty. That's right. Lambo, you know who it is. The Messiah, he's on the mission, y'all, and it don't stop.
That was Timothy Brindle singing the all-sufficiency of Christ. And before that, we also had Timothy Brindle singing about the faithfulness of Christ. And thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantor. And next, I'm going to play a song. This is from Go Fish, and this is called Love Like This.
Love like this. Everybody's got that day where they reach out to God. And they say, God, I want to know you this time for real.
That's right.
Just know, when you do this, he's going to throw in a lifesaver. Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah.
Yeah.
And then his son will reach out to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Here we go.
When you're moving fast forward in a world of change, and you can't catch up and you feel the same way I did, to reach out to you. If you lost your way, don't know where to turn, raise your hands in the air, ask for help the same way I did, to reach out to you. When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, birthday wish and it didn't come out as you planned, to reach out to you. Did you run the race and you finished last? Did you come first place but it felt like last? That's when, to reach out to you. When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun reach out to you. When you seem to fall off track, just know God has got your back, and then the sun will reach out to you. Have you lost your mind in a crazy world, lost your faith in man and the promises of love?
He's the one who saved me. And yes, he'll save you too. His promise of salvation for every Gentile and Jew.
When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, that's when the sun will reach out to you. When you seem to fall off track, just know God has got your back, and then his sun will reach out.
Once again, that was Aviad's poem singing Reach Out to You, and you can find out more about him at hookedonthetruth.com, hookedonthetruth.com, and also Go Fish at gofishguys.com, and Shailin at shailin.com, S-H-A-I-L-I-N-E. And also check him and also Timothy Brindle at lapmode.com, lap, L-A-M-P, mode, M-O-D-E, lapmode.com. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrella. We are on Truth Be Told Radio, and find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And let's see if I got my file ready for you. I'm going to play Greg Kokel talking about a quick summary of the Bible. Here on Truth Be Told Radio, got my shirts. I did it right. Okay, here it goes for you on Truth Be Told Radio.
I'd like to give you a kind of quick summary of the Bible that you can offer to someone who doesn't know anything that the Bible's about. Let me preface it by offering this thought. If someone wants to know what is Christianity, I would answer not that it's a religion, though that's true, or that it's a relationship with God, which is also true, properly understood, or that it's a way of living life, again, true, but not enough. What I'd want to say is that what Christianity is a picture of reality. It's a description about the way the world actually is. It's not just a belief system, but it's meant to be a characterization of the way the world is, a view of the world, or a worldview. And if, in light of that, what the Bible is giving is a view of the most important features of the world as it is. And it's not a science book. I mean, there are lots of important things that might fall under those broader categories. It is a book that is meant to describe the features of reality that are most important to human existence. Why are we here? What's history about? What are we like? What is the nature of man? What is the man's problem? What is his solution? Does God exist? Those kinds of things. Those are the big questions. So I'm going to give you a simple way of remembering what the Bible teaches on this, because it's a characterization of the narrative that is the story that the Scripture gives, the story of reality from beginning to end. The Bible is not just a collection of stories in the smaller sense that are kind of jumbled together and we just draw some generalized spiritual principles from them and kind of guides for life. No, it is a story, it is a narrative of how everything began, how things have gone south, what God's means of repair and restoration entail, and how it all ends. And not just done somewhat in the abstract, but in as an appeal for us to come on board with God in that process. So I'm going to give you five words, that will capture the backbone of this narrative. My daughters have memorized these because they're so important to keep the biblical account in order. And here are the five words: God, man, Jesus, cross, resurrection. Let me give them again. God, man, Jesus, cross, resurrection. Now here I mean resurrection as the final resurrection to reward and punishment. So we start with the beginning with God and we end with the end. Genesis through Revelation, it's covered all there. And what the Bible as a narrative given by God is meant to show us is how things began, the part that God intends man to play in the broad picture, what went wrong with man, what God did in establishing a rescue plan for man, how he did it, and what the final outcome of that is. It's like any other good story. It has a beginning, it has conflict, it has conflict resolution, and it has a denouement or an ending that brings everything together. And the story can be told in those five kind of theological categories that are temporal categories as well: God, man, Jesus, cross, resurrection. That is, God being the initial character of the story, about whom the story is told. That is, he's the center. Created a kingdom, king and dom. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, which included man. And man, being unique, was made in God's image to be in relationship or friendship with him. but man chose to rebel against his sovereign, which created a tremendous problem. Man now is unplugged from the source of all of his happiness and fulfillment and being, the way he was created by God, and is also under God's judgment because of the rebellion. Now what? God establishes a rescue plan by becoming a man himself in Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life we ought to have lived, and then paid the price for the rebellion that we ought to have received, given the rebellion against God, making it possible for us to be forgiven. And so a trade then takes place. And this transaction happened at a place called Calvary, where Jesus died on a cross. And the cross was the place where Jesus received the punishment we deserved, so that those who put their trust in him can receive his goodness and his merits, if you will. We would be seen as Jesus and his perfections instead of receiving the judgment we deserved. What we decide about what God did through us for Jesus on the cross will determine what happens to us in the final resurrection. And in the final resurrection, there is either perfect justice, which is punishment for all the crimes we have ever committed, or perfect mercy, which is mercy for all the crimes, forgiveness for all the crimes that we have ever committed. And in each case, God misses nothing. And that's the biblical story. It's a drama that the entire creation is involved in. It's the story of reality, where God creates man who falls, that God then seeks to rescue through Jesus. The rescue is made possible because of what was done on the cross, and that will determine what happens at the final resurrection. God, man, Jesus, cross, resurrection. That's the summary of the Bible.
That was great, Coco. Talk about a quick summary of the Bible. And his YouTube page or channel is called STR Videos. STR Videos. And you could check us out at Truth Be Told Radio website, truthbetoldradio.com. And we're going to go out as we came in. Please, if you like this, tell others about us. And if you have any ideas, send them to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. Or if you have ideas, anything else. Thanks for listening to us, Truth Be Told Radio. And we are about to go out as we came in with the BIBLE by Go Fish. Bye for now.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.